good. I'm glad there's more of you. I didn't think there'd be too many when I first got here. Do you mind if I sit this way?
Sure.
That's okay? Because I don't like talking in front of people. So if I look this way, I'm looking at you. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I got a question. Do you guys know what a plan is? What is it? What do you think, Jack? Right. Right. That's right. Sometimes you have little plans like a meeting. Sometimes you got big plans, right? Like a vacation. That'd be big plans, wouldn't you? You'd have to plan out what you're going to do the whole time. Or sometimes there are even bigger plans, like Sam, who's not here. He was supposed to help me out here, but he's not here. He had a plan. What?
And God planned.
He is here? Oh, good. There's Sam. See, there's Sam. He had big. He usually sits there. Jeez, Sam, thanks. He had big plans. He planned to go all the way through school, get really super duper good grades, and go to a big college, and then get a good job. So he's got like many years of plans, right? Right. Did you want to say something? That's right. That was the biggest plan. I sure am glad your hair is there. Anyway, something reminded me of a plan. I'm going to show it to you. And you're going to tell me if you know what this is. Oh, no. Does anybody know what that is? What is it? A maze. Life's kind of like a maze, isn't it? Because you got... Right, the tiger has to go all the way down to the bottom.
Yeah.
Right, so you got to have a plan, don't you? Because you're going to plan to start right there, and you got to follow it around.
Then you have to go right here.
Right there. So when we have this plan. Oh. Yeah?
That looks tricky.
It does kind of look tricky. Sometimes it is tricky, isn't it, when you make plans? So if we use this, what is this?
Pencil.
A pencil. Because what's at the end? An eraser. So, we have this plan. We're going to follow it. And let's say we get over here. What happens? Can't go any farther, can you? So, did you make a mistake? Yeah, you got to change your plans. So, what are we going to use?
A pencil.
The eraser. Eraser's kind of like God's forgiveness, right? We're going to erase that back here. So, then we can start over here and see if we can't get to the end. Huh, you think that eraser's kind of like a plan? Helps you erase or ask forgiveness or maybe you need help? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to ask for help, huh? So that's what a maze and a pencil reminded me of. So would you do an echo prayer with me?
Yes.
Okay, you ready? All right. Let's bow our heads. God, please help us. To go with the right plan. And if we get stuck, we remember that you are an eraser. Good job. Amen. Awesome. Oh, wait. I got something for you. And then you guys can take yours. Here.
Well, good morning, everyone. Most of you probably remember me. I'm Roger Swanson. For those who don't, that's who I am. This morning, the message I chose is a title that's called Facing the Future. And this is some words from James, some wisdom from James that can help in many situations within a church body, church family, or as an individual. So let's pray before we start in, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. And Father, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds to receive and to learn and to apply what your holy word through James has for us this morning. In your precious name, amen. Americans have always been people that want to be looking forward as a rule. They want to know what's going to happen next. What's going to happen next week, next year, next decade, next century. They get preoccupied with the future. And it's quite amazing how different kinds of people try different things to forecast their future, like tea leaves and fortune cookies, astrology, palm reading. Those were kind of neat things as a kid you'd try, you know, and just, oh, here's my fortune cookie. And none of them ever came true. But as Americans, we try many different ways to get a grasp on the future, reading books, going to seminars, listening to economic predictions and trying to plan off of that. But there's a Christian viewpoint to this, and this is where James talks about this in verse 4 today. He says there's mistakes that we can make that we should be aware of. This verse is a warning. It's one of those warning verses within the Bible. He says, plan for your future, but he says, beware of these mistakes. So let's read James 4, 13 through 17. This is through the NIV version. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go on this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. First common mistake James points out in this verse is number one, planning without God. The Bible talks about planning without God. There's one verse that says, no man goes out and builds a house without first considering how much it costs. And in the book of Proverbs, it says all over and over again that if we don't plan, we are a fool. It's wise to plan. It's great to have dreams. It's great to have goals, as long as you include God in with them. Don't forget about God. He's got a big hand in facing the future. And this is what James is talking about. We can be a believer and forget totally about God in our life every day. I know a lot of people who love the Lord with their hearts, but sometimes when it comes to planning, they're almost could be considered practical atheists. It's sad to meet someone who says that I don't believe in God. I don't even believe he exists. I've ran into those people, and I'm sure you have too. And it's even sadder to find someone who says, oh, I believe he exists, but then they don't act like he exists. They ignore his ways and his laws. Those kinds of people don't make any plans that involve the Lord. They just go on as if everything depends on them and within themselves. James is saying, don't forget to include God in the future. Including God in your goal. In verse 15, it says, instead you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Now, when when I was going through ministerial teaching and doing my lessons, you look for key words in these verses. There's a key word in this verse. Concentrate on the word if. Let's see what we can learn from that. Sometimes life just seems like a big if. One thing that was always kind of cool to remember, what is the word that's in the middle of life, L-I-F-E? It's if. And I think it applies good to this verse because what that if means or tells us is that I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and you don't either. We can all make educated guesses, but planning without God first is presumptuous. This was James' point here. The starting point in facing the future is to say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me not to do? Planning without prayer is presumptuous. I like the way James puts it. He uses the phrase, if the Lord wills. He's saying that the whole attitude of our life should be, it's up to God. Whatever he wants me to do is the thing that I want. It's okay to plan, but include God in your plans and your goal setting. Let's talk about this phrase, this Lord willing, for a minute. There's three responses to God's will, which I have listed. I can make a reference to God's will. That's what James was saying here. I admit that God has a will, and I accept it, acknowledge it, and make a reference to it. Or number two, I can show deference in God's will. I really want God's will, and I accept it into my life. Number three says I can show preference for God's will. More than anything else, I want God's will in my life. What God wants, that's my plan. That's what I desire. And that's something that we all should desire. James desired it. He's saying so in this scripture. In Proverbs 16:1, it says, we may make our plans, but God has the last word. Man proposes and God disposes. That was a term that I've heard in the past. Proverbs 16:9 said we should make plans, counting on God to direct us. And I've seen this in the past, praying, God bless what I'm doing. God, I've made the plans. Here's my plans. Now you bless them. Instead, shouldn't we be saying, God, help me to do what you're blessing? Big difference in that. One of them through ourselves. The other way is God's way. Help me to do what you're blessing, God. I don't want my plans. I want your plans. Because your plans provide success in my life. So include God in your goal setting. The second thing James tells us where we make a mistake is presuming about tomorrow, taking it for granted, assuming we're going to live forever. I got the rest of my life to do it right. As you get older, you can't change that attitude, but when I was young, that was exactly, young people can get that attitude. Verses 14 and 16 say, while you don't even know what will happen tomorrow, what is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. There's a couple reasons why we shouldn't presume about the future and assume that we've always got tomorrow. Life is unpredictable. James says, you don't even know. None of us are going to know what's going to happen tonight or tomorrow or even next year. All we can do is make guesses. Life's unpredictable. Our world is in the midst of war. War could start at any time. Our economy could turn around quickly. Our friends could leave. Our relatives could leave. None of us know what's going to happen. And life is unpredictable, isn't it? We should depend on God. Let go, let God. I'm sure many of you have heard that phrase, is let go and let God. Number two, James points out life is brief in this verse. He says, you're a mist in verse 14. Your life is like a fog. It rolls in the morning and burns off by noon. Who knows how long we're going to live? None of us do. That's God's plan. The Bible has many ways to describe what our life actually is. It uses phrases throughout the Bible like a leaf, grass, shadow, cloud, a puff of smoke, vapor. These are terms that are throughout the Bible. None of us know how long we've got to live. Life is just too short. It seems like it goes from Hot Wheels to wheelchairs. I can relate to that. Life's brief. Don't take tomorrow for granted. We can't presume that tomorrow's going to be just the same as today. We can't presume that we're all going to live to be 100 and plus. Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. We love to announce our plans, to make goals and declare them. Announcing a goal can be a statement of faith, or it can be a statement of arrogance. It's motive that what makes the difference in declaring your goals. God says it's great to have goals, but he wants us to check in with him first. He says, don't presume. That's what this verse is talking about. Matthew 6:34 says, so don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. I remember my grandmother, one of her favorite songs was Live One Day at a Time. And as a mother of four boys, she had her times of trial, and she said, I learned this early in life, was to live one day at a time with those kids. Live one day at a time. That's how God says to face our future. We can't live the future, right? We can only live today. We can only plan for the future, but take advantage of the present. Life is what happens to us while we're planning something else. I think much of the time we plan what's going to happen tomorrow and totally miss what's going on around us today. Okay, James tells us the third common mistake, putting off doing good. In verse 17 it says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't sins. James is talking, I think, about the issue of procrastination. I'm intending to do it. Have you ever met someone who's always aiming to do it? And sometimes you want to prompt them and say, well, just pull the trigger then, do it. We love to put off. It's human nature. James tells us in this verse, that's a trap. Just because you know the right thing to do and you don't do it. Procrastinating is a trap. It's a land of, someday I'll do this. One of these days I'm going to do this. One of these days I might get serious about God. I might commit. God says you don't have any guarantee of tomorrow, none. I like the part in verse 17, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, sins. Stern warning from James. We can do nothing and still sin, because there is always something we ought to do for the kingdom of God. Christianity is more than avoiding evil. If all that Christian life was a bunch of don'ts, don't do this, don't do that, then everyone who's dead would qualify as a Christian because they don't do anything. We can do all kinds of things that keep us from doing those no-no sins, but it's doing anything in a positive sense is what matters. God says it doesn't. He says do it now. In Proverbs 3:27 through 28, it says, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back later, I'll give it tomorrow,' when you have it with you today." There's three things we can do with our life. We can spend it, waste it, or invest it. We can waste our life. Look at the TV commercials that tell us lots of ways to waste our life, waste our money, waste our time. Or you can spend your time in life trying to acquire things. Or you can invest in your life. The best use of life is to invest it on something that's going to have a forever lasting thing to it. The best thing I can think of is investing is the Word of God and people. Where you spend your time now may determine where you spend eternity. Invest your life in things that last. God, people. So in closing, so what are your plans for the future? Have you set days, marked your calendar, scheduled appointments, and then prayed, "By the way, God, I want you to bless my life on these dates"? That's not what God wants. Does God have a say in your schedule, or you just fill it up? Does God have a priority in your planning? Have you talked to God about your retirement? Have you talked to God about family finances, the plans of whether I should go back to school or not, or what college to go to, what career, or maybe it's relationships, health? He's interested in all those things, every one of them. But James is saying that none of us have any right to just plan our lives as if God doesn't even care. Check with Him first. Consult God. Put your trust in Him. That's what James is saying is how we should face our future. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and it's God. David said in Psalm 35, "Lord, my days are in your hands." Don't make the mistake of planning without God. Don't make the mistake of presuming about tomorrow. And don't make the mistake about doing nothing. God says, live each day, live each week as it were your last. Plan for the future. Include God in your planning and make the most of each day. Live life today because you can only live once. And that's now. And that's what James is telling us. That's what counts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are here today. I thank you for your presence and for your word that's practical and that can apply to our life in the areas that we need it most. Help us to trust you more and not depend on our own ability, but realize that you hold the keys to the future. Father, your hands are the safest place to be. Help us to do what we know we ought to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Make His face shine upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.